I wanted to just give you a little word of encouragement as we are just heading into the fall season. I remember pastoring for like 40 years, and just the fall season was all, it always kind of felt like the new year. And I know that we have a lot of, there's still COVID, and there's anxieties, and there's fears, and there's uncertainty about certain things, but I just want to say again, God has been doing some amazing things here at Oceanside through the years. And again, as you come into the fall season, this is a huge opportunity for not only you to shine, but to continue to shine. And just what God's been doing, not only here, but in the community and in your schools and in different areas, just be encouraged. It's an amazing opportunity just to continue to shine. And I know that God is going to use you. We are a people of great hope. Do you agree with that this morning? And that's what I love about Psalm 63 today, because it is really a psalm of hope. Interesting that the ancient church fathers back in the days of the early church, many of them made this decree that no day should pass without the public singing of this psalm. Now, we didn't sing the psalm this morning. We read it. But I just thought it was an interesting thought that no day should pass. There are certain passages of Scripture that need to be just embedded into our soul. And this is one of them this morning from Psalm chapter 63. And so for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk a little bit about great I wills for a hope-filled life. Things that we will resolve to do, things that we will to do that will actually help inspire hope within us. And the interesting thing is that this psalm was written, just to give a little bit of a background context, was written by King David. And it was at a time when David was experiencing some great pressure. David was dealing with some family issues in his home. His kingdom was struggling in some ways. David's own son, Absalom, was stirring up all kinds of rebellion among the people, and it was affecting, he was really going after his father. In fact, Absalom even tried to kill his own father. And it's, you know, if there was ever a dark night of the soul, if there was ever a dark season, you can only imagine as a father having to flee from your own son. And that's the kind of setting that this psalm was actually written into. And so David, his heart was breaking. It was a dark night. And as Ann and I shared a couple of weeks ago, life just didn't make sense. And so in some ways, what I'm going to share today is a little bit of a segue from some of the things that Ann and I talked about a couple of weeks ago. And if you missed it and you want to check it out online, you're welcome to do that. But it's interesting how David's words here in Psalm 63, how in many ways it reveals what was really in David's heart. And I don't know about you, but pressure seems to have a way of allowing the things that are deep in our hearts to actually rise to the surface. And even though David was in the worst of all possible times, we see what David willed to do. We see what he resolved to do in this dark night. And so we're going to look at some of David's I wills and how we can apply them to our own lives. The first great I will, and I hope that we can will to do this ourselves, is that David said, I will earnestly seek you. And if you notice in verse 1, I love these words. David said, oh God, you are my God. And he continued to say, and earnestly I seek you. Just the very fact that he said, oh God, you are my God, it just speaks of his relationship with God. He said, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. And in spite of this intense pressure that David was under, there's no cry for help. There's no get me out of this mess. Instead, we see David expressing his longing and his desire for more of God's presence. He wanted more. How many know this morning that our God, our infinite God, the God that we were singing about this morning within our time of worship, that there's so much more? And oftentimes it's in those pressure times of life that we have this opportunity to actually pursue God even more, to go deeper with him, and to think that there's more of God to discover. You know, we are like a little pea in the size when you think about how great God is. There's so much more. More to experience, more to love. I was just even last night, I was looking at, reflecting on my notes, I thought of that scripture in Ephesians where Paul, he actually prayed that the church would know God, they would know his love, they would know the width, the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of his love. There's so much more of God's love to discover. And it's oftentimes in those darkest moments that we encounter a greater depth of God. And so, can I encourage you this morning to, wherever you are at, maybe as we shared even a couple of weeks ago, you might even be in a good season. There's still more to discover. And so I would encourage you to will, to resolve, I will earnestly seek you, God. The second great I will from this passage, I love texts where the outline is already built in, and it makes it easy for a pastor to speak, you know. But he says, I will forever praise you. That's what David said. Verse 4, he said, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And so as David is reflecting on this very difficult season, he says, but I will praise you. Ask the question this morning, how is forever praise possible? Well, if you look at verses 2 and 3, David is remembering. I've always felt that one of the foundations of praise is that we learn to remember well, that we look back and we can see God's hand at work in our lives, even in those dark seasons, because as we look back, we will see those times where we see where God was faithful and where God was good and where we experienced his kindness. And David says, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and I've experienced your glory. He probably thinks back to the day when he slew the lion and killed a giant, and you know, like just he reflects on those times, those difficult seasons, and he experienced the faithfulness of God. And so this became the foundation of his forever praise. One of the benefits of living a life filled with praise, and let me just say, this is not about denying our present realities. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to praise God and, you know, what's going on doesn't matter. The reality is we don't have to. We should never deny the present reality. If you're in a deep, dark spot, it's okay to acknowledge that. But in the midst of that, we have this will, this sense of resolve that we're going to direct our focus towards God. And so one of the benefits of living a praise-filled life is it inspires hope. I through this whole COVID thing, I just, every day I like to say, we're one day closer to getting through this. And I would rather be a carrier of hope than the controversy that sometimes revolves around it. We are people of hope. And as we acknowledge God, God is not like, oh my goodness, like what's going on down there on planet Earth? Like, we serve a God who's still on the throne, and it doesn't matter what the situation is. Praise, acknowledging God, seeking him earnestly inspires greater hope. Praise goes before us and sustains us in battle. We see that in the scripture. Praise lifts our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, the Bible says. Praise keeps our mind and our soul directed towards heaven. Praise helps us to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. A couple of weeks ago, Ann and I shared a little bit of our story, how both of us lost the loves of our life. I lost my wife a couple of years ago through when she passed away, and Ann lost her husband a number of years ago when he went home to be with Jesus. And one of the things we, as we both reflect on our stories, was in those deep, dark times, was how we made a decision that we were going to praise God. We were going to give thanks to God even in the darkest time. We were going to thank God for what he had done and what he was doing, and it just allowed us to go through those difficult periods. I remember just even 2 years ago when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, I remember just her speaking these words to me, saying, "Dave, we're going to give thanks to God for what he's done. We're going to give thanks to God for the life that we've had." And I know Anne went through the same thing with her husband. And it's hard to do sometimes, but it's the alternative is not great. And so praise, living a life of forever praise, it inspires hope. And it sustains us. David said in Psalm 145, he said, "Every day," can you say it with me? "Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever." And so, the third great I will, he said, "I will be completely satisfied in you." Look at verse 5. He said, "My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." And I was thinking about that passage, and I was thinking about, you know, that favorite meal, you know, that you go to a restaurant, or your spouse, or you create that beautiful dish, and you take that first bite, and you just go, "That's so good." How many have those favorite meals, or that dessert, or whatever? And so the picture here is David is saying, "My soul will be satisfied as though it were like the best thing that I could ever consume." But David is actually, what he's saying is that my ultimate soul satisfaction comes from God alone. And he's saying it's not more power, it's not having more control, it's not a bigger kingdom, it's not everything going well, even in my family. God, David is saying that my soul, my ultimate satisfaction comes from God alone. I love the words of John Piper when he said these words. He said, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him." Isn't that good? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And my encouragement to you this morning is this, that along with all of our hopes and dreams and desires and whatever it might be, and there's nothing wrong with having these earthly, temporal desires and maybe that cottage or that boat or that 30-pound salmon, if they would allow you to keep it. You know, like it's okay to have those desires, but David is saying the ultimate desire of all is my relationship with you, and that we would allow everything that we might desire here on earth and put them through the filter of our ultimate pursuit and joy that comes from knowing and being completely satisfied with Christ. Friends, everything else is pale in comparison. And that's what David is trying to help us to understand today, that we will be completely satisfied with him. And so, looking at these great I wills, David said, "I will earnestly seek you." not casually, but I will earnestly go after you. I will forever praise you. I will be completely satisfied in you. And then the last thought here from this amazing Psalm 63, David is saying to us, I will intentionally cling to you. Look at verses 6 through 8. David said, on my bed I remember you, and I think of you through the watches of the night. I asked Pastor Joseph, I said, how did you sleep last night? And he kind of hedged a little bit. And because I know what it's like as a pastor coming back from being away for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. Like all of a sudden the realities of what you're dealing with kind of rises to the surface and it bubbles up. Interesting, last night I had a bit of a restless sleep, especially as I was falling to sleep, and Ann prayed with me, and it was just beautiful. As I was drifting off, I just began to reflect on some really key thoughts that were so important when it came to God being in control and being able to release them to him. And so those nights when maybe you can't sleep, those restless nights, it's so important that we can release things to God. He says, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. And then I love this verse 8. He said, and my soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. David knew in this very difficult night, he knew that his only hope was to hold on tight, to cling to his relationship with God. As we even shared a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, the tendency often is, instead of holding on to God, sometimes we push God away in those dark seasons. And David understood that it was so important for him to hold on and to cling to God, even though it was a hard time. I don't know about you, but I'm sure, you know, islanders are great gardeners, I've come to discover. And I love watching things grow. And I enjoy my little backyard garden. It's not very elaborate by any means. But one of the things I've learned is that you know, like tomato plants often do better when they're staked, when there's something that they can attach to, or a cucumber plant. I've got these 10-foot bean plants that grow. I call my grandkids call them, you know, Papa's magic beans. I don't know why, but anyway, these things grow like 10 feet tall. But the only way they will grow 10 feet tall is that they've got some support systems to cling to and to grow. And thinking about, some of you maybe grow grapes, and I don't know if we have a photo of it this morning, but just the idea of a trellis. Yeah, there we go. A trellis, how a trellis actually, now that's not my trellis. A trellis is what actually becomes a support system. Well, that trellis doesn't get there on its own. Someone had to intentionally put it there. And so the support systems in our life that actually help cause the plants to grow upward and to become more fruitful are all part of the intentionality of that's going to help us bear fruit even in those difficult times. And David says, I will cling to you. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago, we went back up to Courtney, and I when we came home, one of my tomato plants that I had planted, it had become disconnected from the vine that it was growing on, and there it was, just, you know, laying flat on the ground because it had not clung properly. And so we kind of tied it all back up, and next thing you know, it's doing okay. But the idea of being intentional is so important. And I was just thinking a little bit of some of the ways that we can be intentional in our relationship with God, certain practices that we incorporate and we maintain on a daily basis, things like scripture and prayer. These need to be the best practices. These need to be the things that we intentionally do that will actually help us to cling and to be strong and to be more fruitful. Scripture, prayer, taking time for stillness and solitude. These are all important ways that we can be intentional. connecting and being in community with one another. Just even looking around today, the fact that you have got out of bed and have come into the house of God here at Oceanside, that's part of being intentional. Even those of you online, you had to go online and you actually had to click a button or an app and intentionally say, I'm going to connect with my church family. And the Bible talks about us being knit together. And as we are knit together, woven together, these things actually help us to cling to God better. We actually help each other to cling. And so, just in these few minutes this morning, as we've been able to reflect a little bit here on Psalm 63, I just want to say that as we sang earlier, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back at this time. And I love that song that you did, How Great Is Our God, and then just the chorus part leading into how great. Yeah, just you guys know what you're doing. Come on up anyway. Can we just stand together this morning? Don't you love scripture that's filled with hope? And as we sing these, as we share these scriptures this morning, and you might be in one of those dark nights of the soul, and like we shared a couple of weeks ago, life may not make sense. For David, I'm sure life just was not making sense. But he resolved to do certain things. He said, God, I will seek you. You're my God. Can I just say this morning, if there's anyone here today or watching online and you're not in a relationship with God, or maybe that relationship with God is not what it should be, Jesus right now, he's inviting us to come. He's saying, come. He is wanting to be in relationship. I love Pastor Joseph's words. He's just, even though we have failed, God is just saying, come. We can come into union. We can come into relationship. David said, I will earnestly seek you. I will forever praise you. No matter how hard it is, I will forever praise you. I will be completely satisfied in you. Would you put those things in your life through that filter?